Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
There's a Sunday school teacher, and she was trying to teach her kids about right and wrong. And she decided that, for example, she was going to use stealing as her example. And so she looked at her class. It was a teenage class, and she said, "Okay, class, if I were to walk up to a man and take his wallet and remove all of his money, what would I be?" And immediately, a hand rose up in the back and said, "You'd be his wife." That just was a sexist joke. I'm sorry. That was a sexist joke. I'm sorry. Boo me. Boo. Bad preacher. Bad preacher. Well, we've been going through this journey. I'm trying my contacts again, so I'll pardon my little old man readers here. We've been going through our journey through the Ten Commandments. I think I can read these. The Ten Commandments. And how many of you have been challenged over the past several weeks at your concept and your understanding of what the Ten Commandments are? Have you been challenged, anybody? Good. Because the big takeaway, the big point is this. The Ten Commandments are not like a bunch of rules from a grouchy old man saying, "Stay off my lawn." You know, a lot of people feel that that's what the Ten Commandments are. They're ten no-nos. In fact, we are missing the point. If you think the Ten Commandments are a bunch of no-nos, you don't understand that, in fact, the Ten Commandments are a loving God giving these wonderful rules for us to say, here's how you can have the best life that you can have here. Here's how you can have good, healthy relationships with your brothers and sisters. It's a good relationship when you don't murder somebody, right? You know, you may feel like you want to murder them, but no, we all know that's a bad thing. We talked about that. We kind of broke that down. It's how we can have a healthy relationships, both with our fellow man as well as with God. Now, one important thing, as I've tried to stress every week, the Ten Commandments do not make us righteous. Following the Ten Commandments does not make us right in God's sight. It's important. I have to hammer that point home. It's not. We are made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, not by observing some set of rules. If in fact observing rules would make us right, that makes God a mean, nasty father who would torture his son when there was another way. But in fact, God is a loving father, and he knew this was the way he prepared from the beginning. And the Ten Commandments are a gift to us so that we can understand it and where we are right now. So today we're going to move on to the next commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. And if you would all read this with me together, 1, 2, 3. "You shall not steal." Okay. Like last week, we feel like this is kind of an open and shut case. We kind of feel like, okay, like with murder as well, we feel like we got it. We got it. "Thou shalt not steal." All in all, I hope that everybody in the room thinks stealing's bad. If you think stealing's bad, say, yay. Okay, boo stealing, boo. We don't like stealing, right? All in all, we don't like that, okay? And that's good. But today I want to break down and I want to make our conversation centered around three questions. So the first two questions are going to kind of be introspective. The last question is where we really want to land, which is probably the most important because it's going to give us some criteria moving forward of how we can walk this out. Every time that especially when I teach Old Testament, I want people to understand that we don't remain there. We look at how life application. So our third point is going to be our life application. But our first point, our first question today is, it's a fair question. And it's this. Do I steal? Do I steal? Now again, we've all said, boo, stealing is bad. And I think that that's a wonderful thing. I'm very, very glad. I know that when I go into a new town, if I'm driving through like I drove up to Iowa, And a couple times I pulled off for a little bit and I'd walk into this gas station, and you walk into the service station and then there's glass, like thick bulletproof glass, and then there's like chain link fence up around the side, and there's a little bitty speak hole, and the guy can shove, you know, something out, in and out. Like, it's like crazy. It kind of tells you, is that a community you want to live in? You know, the town that Renita and I moved out of, there was a joke. Nobody locked their doors, and everybody left their cars with the keys in the ignition, because everybody trusted one another. Isn't trust a good thing? This is trust. And some, I've heard people talk like this, you know, about Pittsfield as well. I know we had a little crime spree a little while ago. It's good. Don't you want to live in that type of town where you can trust those around you? It's a wonderful foundation for a society. Okay? It's a wonderful thing to know that you can just trust. That's what I love about cross country. The first time that I went to a cross, you know that I had to find the conversation that way. The first time I went to a meet, all these kids are leaving their phones and headphones and expensive. Now there's a thief and he's just like, I'm going to clean up at the cross country meet next time. And they just all left all their stuff there because they're like, well, runners got this fraternity of runners. We just respect each other's stuff. Wouldn't it be great if the whole world worked like that? Okay, well, we have the charge to begin to make that happen. Now, how can we do it? We answer this question. Do I steal? Well, before we answer the question, we have to look a little deeper. And that's my next thing of this point. Stealing is not just the big things. So I know that hopefully a lot of us haven't robbed a bank today. I hope that before you came to church, you didn't knock off a convenience store. If you did, come to the altar afterwards. We'll pray for you. But regardless of that, we understand that stealing is not just the big things. How many of you have ever had an error in your favor and you didn't correct it? You go to a restaurant and you realize, oh, I got the receipt. And they didn't charge me for something. And it wasn't like they said, oh, hey, we just like to give you free dessert. They just forgot to charge you. Do you just be quiet and not say much? It's really quiet in the church today. How about, oh, you know, when they used to have, anybody ever used to operate the VCRs? You put the VCR in, and then it has this big warning. Warning, piracy. The FBI is watching what you're doing right now, and we're going to come arrest you and throw you in jail. Uh-huh. And I remember when they used to have cassette tapes. You'd put your cassette tape in, the American Top 40 was there, and you'd record them. So you'd have a copy of the songs on cassette, and you didn't have to purchase the song. Did you know that that's stealing? Oh, preacher, you're just being over the top today. Actually, it is. Okay? Intellectual piracy is piracy. You know, there's another type of stealing, and we talk about this when people go to work and, you know, they're having a lunch with somebody and they say, hey, let's just have a quick, ask me a question about my job. Why? Well, that way I can write it off. Ha 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 ha. But since I asked a question, it's okay. It's a working business lunch. Expense sheets. All these things, you know, these small things. No one is comfortable today. Come on, guys. These things, in actuality, what we have to realize is stealing is not just the big thing. Certainly the law makes some differentiation in certain values as to what type of crime it is. But for us, we need to understand stealing is stealing. Yes, stealing is stealing, whether it's big, whether it's little. And so for us, as followers of Christ, as people who want to reflect Christ, we have to ask ourselves a question. Am I stealing? And what am I, and what I am doing, am I stealing? So there's a big thing. When you're overcharged, when you find errors in your favor, expense reports, downloading things illegally, copying movies illegally. Well, and let's just look at the other side. I was in a discussion with somebody who said, you know what, when an employer takes advantage of his employee and doesn't give them fair compensation, is that stealing? Very well could be. Very well could be. I mean, those are all things. And what we can't do as a society and as Christians in this society is go back on the, well, everybody does it. Everybody fudges on their taxes. Or somehow justify it. We justify our stuff. Well, you know what? The hotels are just too expensive. That's why I have no problem cleaning out every single bar of soap and every single little hand sanitizer and every single... I had a friend, a minister friend of mine, who we would travel and speak together. And I stayed one time, I think it was a Holiday Inn Express. The next morning we got ready and we're packing up. And like, he's throwing towels in his luggage. What are you doing? And he's like, well, they charge that. They overcharge us, so it's okay. And I had to slap him around a little bit and say, no, I didn't murder him, and that's all right. But we had a very long conversation. And what scared me is he didn't have a problem with this. By the way, I won the conversation. But it was frustrating to say, it's okay. I mean, he was so bad, he would literally take toilet paper rolls off of the thing and load them up. I'm not going to ask how many people in college. Okay. Anybody in the room today, have you ever stolen anything? In terms of what I just said. Now, don't you feel better? We're a den of thieves. All right. Jesus talked about us. Now, we can laugh, and ironically, recognizing that we're amongst fellow people, we can say, oh, okay, now we can kind of laugh about it. But the bottom line is, at some point, we got to say, okay, now we have revelation. Are we going to be people of integrity? Are we going to make a difference? Stealing is bad for a society. Jesus is letting us know it damages our relationships with our fellow man. It damages our relationship with God. Now, here's the big one, guys. Here's the big one. Because some people say, well, it's a victimless, some things are a victimless crime. Okay? No one really gets it. Well, no one really knows what happened. There are two people who knew what happened. Number one, you. And number two, God. And here's what really troubles me. Why didn't we respond when, not if, when? Everybody say when. The Holy Spirit nudged you. I promise you, the Holy Spirit nudges you. That little bitty, And the issue, like I said last week, is many of us have grown callous to that voice because it's become white noise like the hum of the air conditioner. Y'all hear it now. You know why you heard it? You settled yourself and you listen. Most of us, we just go along with our groupies and whatever everybody says, we say okay. And we don't realize we are damaging our ability to discern the voice of God, to discern the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because we have grown callous to it. I'm begging you, as someone who loves you, remove the callous. It is not that the Holy Spirit does not prompt. It's that we refuse to listen. So, do I steal? Stealing is not just the big things. Okay? It's important for us to understand that. Which then, and again, I don't want to go to, give you a bunch of just black and white rules. I want you to get a closer, more intimate relationship with God. And I believe this is one area that we slowly, because it's become so commonplace in our society, that we harden our heart a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 30. Paul writes, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Just curious, who do you think he's writing to? These are church people. These are church. These are church people. Wait a minute. Let the thief no longer steal? Yup. Let the thief no longer steal. So for us today, hey, look, if you've been caught by something here, okay, here's a loving exhortation. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not, here's the big one, here's why I left it all the way to 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we resist the Holy Spirit, who is not silent, when we resist Him, we are grieving Him. It says, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So this all brings me, small stuff, when we fail in the small stuff, it is a prelude to bring us into the big stuff. Second question, since no one liked that first question, we'll go to the second question. Do I steal from God? Do I steal from God? And already, right there, by even posing that question, I know a few of us have gone, oh, here he's going to go back to Malachi. And he's going to take us into the old covenant and throw us back into the chains of legalism. Because after all, Helen kind of hinted at a building project coming on. And that's when preachers really like to grease down their people and squeeze them real good. Get everything out of them. Yep. Okay. Those of you who know me, really know me, God can do far more with three people of faith than a whole bunch of other resources. Okay? You see, when people say this, when people talk about giving, and people say, you mean God wants me, is going to make me give? No. You have the opportunity. It's not a twist your arm. Is God a giving God? Okay, for God so loved the world that he... All right, I've heard one of the best theological sermons of God that I've heard, some good theology, is that if there is an essence of God, a noun of God, it's love. And if there is a verb of God, it is give. God gives. And we are like God when we give. It's a powerful thing. So, Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. If you remember back to our study on the minor prophets, I believe those are still online. They might be still online. You can go back and pull them up. Malachi chapter... No, Chaz, give me the no. We don't have them. But I can give those to you if you'd like a copy, and I won't charge you for them. Okay. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. To people in captivity, the prophet writes, "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return?" Now, so there's separated from God, and then verse 8 kind of makes sense. Will man rob God? When he tells them how. Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. Now the word tithe means tenth. Alright? So, you know, by the way, for people who want to get legalistic and say, oh, the tenth, what do you have that's not really God's? I like how Michelle prayed for our offering today. Look, it's all God's. How many of you believe it's all God's anyway? If it's all God's, okay, God's asking you to honor him in the tenth, okay? The tithe. And then you have offerings. So you mean more than 10%? We'll talk about that if you want to come in and talk about that. It says, "You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe," in other words, the full tenth, "into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts." Giving is one of the few times that God says, I'm allowing you to test me. It's an opportunity for us. "See if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." Now, I understand some people say, well, the tithe, that's part of the law, and we've been delivered from the law. Hold your horses now, because the tithe happened before the law. In fact, giving happened long before the law. We see offerings being offered to God with Cain and Abel. And remember how we talked about with Cain and Abel. What was the difference in the sacrifice? Abel offered the firstborn. He offered some of the firstborn. Where Cain says that he brought an offering. It's not a specific. He just said, this is what I'm going to do, regardless of what God is saying. And God had regard to one and didn't have regard to the other. Let's move it up a little bit to Abram. Abram has this fantastic battle in Genesis where there's these group of kings who are warring back and forth. He'd separate from Lot, and they're going back and forth, and coming back from this tremendous victory, we find out this character, this king priest called Melchizedek, shows up. Now, when you read Hebrews, it says a few things about who this Melchizedek was. It says he had no father or mother, no beginning or no end. That's a weird dude. And then it says that he's the king of Salem, the king of peace. Remember one of the names of Jesus? The Prince of Peace. All right? So we have the King of Peace, no father, no mother, no beginning, no end, and he shows up and he offers him bread and wine. What a meal that is. You see all the foreshadowing that's going on? And here's what Abram did. He says he offered him a tenth of everything he had. He honored God with that. Gang, this is before the law. We knew it, Pastor. You're going to shake us down. No, God loves a cheerful giver. I just want us to be like God. Now, do you think that you're not a Christian if you don't know? You did not hear me say that. You did not hear me say that. I have found in my life, giving frees me. I have found in my life, giving frees me. And I have also found in my life that it comes quite natural to be selfish. Anybody else? I can talk myself out 100 reasons how not to give God. But there's one reason that tells me too. It's that little whisper. And I found that if I would respond to the voice of God, life is so much better. Anybody got an amen to that one? Well, you know what? Jesus wouldn't validate that, Pastor. I saw a movie. All right? Let's go look at movie buffs. Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 24. Okay, starting in verse 23, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." So he's looking at the scribes and Pharisees who every little bit, they would go so much, they would get herbs and spices, and they would divide out a tenth of those, and they would offer them. But when the law required that they take care of their family members, their elders, they would say, "Oh no, this money is going to God." And they'd hold it back so they didn't have to take care of them. And Jesus is like, "I see what's going on inside of your heart here, guys. You're acting on the outside like you're tithing, but really, you're not. You're holding big things back and you're playing the shell game with God." Has anybody ever played the shell game with God? "Oh God, you give me the winning lottery tickets and I'll buy the church a new building. Just give me some numbers. 316. My lucky numbers." No. But listen to what Jesus said. He says, "Look, you've done these things, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." Now, that last part is what I want to draw your attention to. "These you ought have done." You ought to have done. And talking about the offering of the spices. Giving God the tenth, you should be doing it without neglecting the others. So Jesus does not remove the tithe. The whole principle of the tithe, Jesus doesn't remove it. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. He says, this is our verse today. "Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Paul goes on to tell us, look, God loves a cheerful giver. Decide in your heart. Decide in your heart what you're going to give. And the practice of the New Testament church was to give regularly. It's good to give. I'm not trying to put some legalistic bond upon you. I'm saying listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. All right. Which brings me to my final point. Amen. We're almost done. And this is like the big one. This is where it gets down. You know, so when I'm presented with an opportunity to just, "Oh, wow, there's a $100 bill laying on the ground. And I see people around, but I'm just going to take it. Does anybody need this?" "Oh, no one said anything." Big question. Why steal? Why? Why would we steal? Why would we rob our brother or sister? Why would we rob God? Why would we do any of this? And here's the only thing that I can come up with. Stealing indicates a lack of trust in God. The reason that we steal is because we don't trust God. We think in our heart that somehow it's due us, and so God can't or won't meet my need, and it is in fact my responsibility to acquire it on my own. If you're thinking, "Oh, you know what? The man doesn't treat me well, so this is how I get him back. I'm gonna just get my doctor my expense account, or I'm gonna find every way to stretch everything that I possibly can. I'm gonna fudge on my hours, and we know I didn't work those times. Well, I'm gonna put them down that I did." What we're really saying is, look, I don't trust God to provide me, or that God is gonna be God is watching and you are watching. And there's going to be a time that we stand and we have to give an account for our lives. Now, thank the Lord that the blood of Jesus covers us and I'm forgiven by my faith in Him. That's great news. But time is out. I'm sick and tired of reading the headlines about how some Christian leader acted immorally or skirted the lines or embezzled or did something. I'm tired of giving the world evidence to talk about how big a hypocrites we are. How about this? How about we be righteous as God has called us to be? How about we allow the blood of Jesus to transform us? How about we be that person who stands up and calls attention to something and corrects them? How about it? You know what? I think it would be a much better world. I think it would be a better world. I don't know if that was me or not. I think it would be a much, much better world. So do I trust that God's word is true? And if God's word is true, we've broken it out here today. We've laid it out. If God's word is true, and I want to follow that in faith, I can know Him as my provider. I don't have to rely on myself. I love the little story of the little boy who was at a produce stand. There's a bunch of apples there, and the store owner was looking at him and just kind of watching. You could see what was about to happen. Say, "Hey, little boy, are you trying to steal one of those apples?" The little boy turned and looked at him and said, "No, sir, I'm trying not to steal one." Yeah, that's not so bad. Maybe if we're just honest about these things and we just come to God and recognize, "Lord, help change my heart. Help me come to a place of trust in You." In conclusion, there was there's an old story of a 24-year-old named Danny Simpson who stole $6,000 in an armed bank robbery. He had just acquired this old heirloom, and he picked it up, and it was a 45, a Colt 45. Then he went in, held up this bank, stole $6,000. They caught him, and they put him in jail for 6 years. They took the gun, and they did some research on the gun, because it was an old gun. In fact, it was made in 1918 by the Ross Rifle Company. A dealer got a hold of it and said, "You realize that this is worth over $100,000. You know what, gang? God has given us so much. If we'd focus on what God has given us and stewarding those things rightly, I don't think we'd put ourselves into some of those other positions. I want you to know something. You can trust God. I want you to know that you can trust God. And so when confronted with the opportunity to be unethical, to fudge the lines, to find some other way to get around, I want to encourage you to stand. I want to encourage you to honor God in your integrity. And let's be of those people. Let's be of that generation who majors on the small things. And then we're really going to have some validity with the large things. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. And God, we thank You again for this journey, looking into Your Word. And God, I pray that we would allow Your Word to look into us. So Father, without drawing it out too much, Lord, we have already acknowledged, even in a lighthearted way, that we've missed the mark on this. We have taken what is not ours. We have been opportunistic in times to benefit ourselves at the cost of integrity. And for that, Lord, we, Your children, ask for forgiveness. We repent. And Father, with the revelation by Your Spirit today, we need Your help to cause us to be sensitive to the prompting of Your Spirit. Let us be people of integrity, we pray. We give room for that now, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.